Magic. Yay. The magic of technology.
The magic of sound design and editing.
I'm about to burp. I'm so sorry.
Super cute.
Okay. What?
I finished the sandwich, and he's still staring at me like I have the sandwich. I do not have it. It is in my stomach. You cannot have it. I cannot give it to you now.
You're just going to have to tell him to go lay down.
He is lying down. Now he's lying down across the room and giving me his sad eyes. Because he's like, I'm being good, so should you not reward me? As though I did not give him a Kong this morning for literally just being awake. But, you know.
I'm sorry, I've got so many hiccups right now. Where did I'm the listening, hiccups come I swear from? To God. I don't know. Probably because I ate so much waffle.
Welcome back to the Work in Progress podcast, where we are three friends today, usually four, who are all creatives and writers, and we are talking about our creative journeys. It's been a few weeks for me, so I'm still getting back into this thing, but my name is Ray Noble. I have my amazing co-hosts with me today, Maggie and Athena, and we're going to be talking about rewriting versus revising and all that good shit that comes with having a first draft and then realizing it needs some work. So
wasn't our last episode about first drafts too?
Like, it was.
It's like we planned this.
Amazing.
And we didn't just throw it together literally 2 minutes before we hit record.
Exactly. Sweet. Good job, everybody. Super proud of you. On that note, would you like to introduce yourself? We'll start off with Maggie, because I see your icon on my Google Hangouts first.
Sweet. We can do that. Hi, everyone. My name is Maggie, and I am a queer author and artist based out of Vancouver, Canada. And let's see. What am I up to? I write fantasy and urban fantasy. Anything fantasy-ish tends to be my jam. And I've got a couple of books on Wattpad that you can check out. They are the first beta drafts of my Starborn series, Star in the Ocean and The Wind in the Horizon.
Woo!
And that's all I got today. Ding! Ding, 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 ding! Tapping
ding,
out.
Ding, 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 ding! Athena, you're next in the ring.
Hooray! Hello! I am Athena Wright. I am from Toronto, Canada. I mostly write contemporary romance, but I've recently started dabbling in urban fantasy. And my newest book is coming out next week on Thursday, the 13th, and I am freaking out.
What's the book's name?
Hard Rock Kiss. It is about a rock star, as my books almost always are, and I've already had probably at least a full quarter of my early readers tell me I made them cry.
Oh, wow. Well
yeah. Done. I know. I was like, sweet, emotionally damaging. Awesome.
It's such a writer thing where we're like soft golf applause. Like, well done. Good job.
Awesome. Well, on that note, I guess it's me. So once again, my name is Ray Noble. I am a queer writer from the Pacific Northwest. I primarily write queer urban fantasy or paranormal fiction. And also I'm a graphic designer and do some other shit. That's great. I've got four animals in the room with me today, so if they're cute, you just gotta deal with it. That's basically it. I don't have anything you can buy right now, but that's okay. So there's my self-plug. Follow us all on Twitter.
Well done.
That's my shameless plug for the day. Hey, I'm really close to 1,000. I'm at 930 right now, so I'm pretty excited, not gonna lie. I don't know why people are following me, because I basically just shitpost constantly, but I appreciate it nonetheless.
That's why we're all here.
That's true. Okay, guys. So, jumping into the actual topic today, unless we have any current events corner, anything we want to chat about real quick before I move on.
Can I like do a shameless self plug?
Please do.
Now that the schedule is up, I can officially say that I am going to be a panelist at WattCon this October. Yay! So for people who aren't familiar, WattCon is Wattpad's annual conference, and this is the first time that it's been extended to a 2-day ordeal, and B, the first time they've ever gone stateside. It's almost always, I think, as far as I know, I don't know. I only thought that this was their second year, and other Wattpadders are telling me, no, this has been going on a long time. So fuck, I'm out of the loop, but we're going to be in New York City the last weekend of October, and I'm going to be sitting on a panel on Sunday, and I am just, here I am like, oh, let me do a shameless self plug, and I'm not even ready to tell you anything about it.
That's okay.
Hold on.
We can edit it.
Oh, it worked. Good. Good, good, good. Here we go. Schedule up. I will be on a panel on Sunday, the 28th, and my panel is Era of Own Voices, Writing Diverse Stories. And I will be speaking about specifically writing about queer stories as a queer author. So, but anyway, like I said, WattCon, big deal, 2 days, literally in Times Square, like right smack dab in the middle of New York City. It's going to be awesome. So if you're a Wattpadder and you've been like, I want to do the thing, you should do the thing. Because as far as I know, tickets are more than 50% sold. And I mean, New York City.
You New York do it. City,
and
bitches.
Come see me. Come see me. Come say hi.
Go say hi to Maggie. She's really nice.
I'll have stickers with me. You fucking hand them out like candy.
I'm so excited to see your stickers.
They're turning out real nice. I'm happy.
They look digging beautiful so far. So thanks. Super excited. Athena, do you have anything else?
I want to brag about my brush with fame.
Okay, do it right now because it's a great story.
I already told you guys. So I write romance novels primarily about rock star musicians. And one of the bands in my book is named Darkest Days. And the name of that band was stolen from my favorite album from my favorite group, Stabbing Westward. I recently got VIP meet and greet concert tickets to go see Stabbing Westward in New York the weekend before Maggie is going to be there, interestingly enough. And I posted on their fan page asking the other fans, hey, do you guys think it's creepy that I did this? And is it creepy if I ask them to sign one of my Darkest Days books? The lead singer of Stabbing Westward personally replied and said, no, I think it's awesome. I'd be honored to sign it.
Yeah, every time I just get so excited.
It's so exciting.
Basically, we're basically friends, is what
I'm
saying.
Are you going alone or are you going to have someone with you? Because
My boyfriend sort of wants to come for like a long weekend vacation-y thing, so that might be what we do.
Oh, otherwise, I'm just doing. Show.
Otherwise, I'm just doing a whirlwind 24-hour come up, see the show, go home.
Which you've done before.
I've done that before.
Wouldn't be the first time. Yes. But yeah. I ask because I want someone to record this. Like, I want video of this.
I am positive that if she gives her phone to somebody, another fan or like a crew member will record it for her. I'm positive.
Because I'm emotional just thinking about it, and I want to see it.
Oh, I might cry, so I don't want it to be recorded.
No, too bad.
Yeah, you need to have that moment recorded so you can have it forever.
I might literally say, like, my fan group would love to see a video of this because they think that you're also cool. So.
I mean, yeah, I think that would be amazing.
Yeah.
I'm sure it won't be a problem. I don't think anyone would... I don't think they would say no.
Yeah, I can't imagine they would either.
Oh my god. I'm so excited for you.
That's gonna
it's
be awesome.
Pretty boss.
Oh my god.
Yeah. How super cool. Exciting.
Oh my god. I'd love to build you like a really beautiful shadow box so you can mount your book on the wall in your office above your desk.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Okay, I'm fine.
The pinnacle of your career.
I would say you sound more excited than me, but no, I was pretty much freaking out. I was shaking and crying.
You were the epitome of the meme. You were shaking and crying. God, that's going back a while. Actually.
You can ask my friends because they were there when I bought the concert tickets. They were they're like, are you okay? And I was like, no.
You don't understand.
Well, and
this band has been broken up for 20 years, right? And they're only just doing a reunion tour. So I never thought I'd get to see them ever.
Well, and on top of that, not only are they doing this reunion tour, but they're also doing it as the concept album that you like literally created all of this based off of. So it's more than just like, oh, it's a reunion tour and you're so excited to see them again. It's also that extra layer of this is... I'm not going to presume and say it's your
favorite
album, but like
by
this
writing.
Is exactly
this is, yeah. this album inspired my writing. Like,
right. So, like, this is a big thing. So I understand. I would be freaking the fuck out. I would be sobbing and freaking out everywhere. There would probably be some bodily fluids around because I wouldn't know what to do with myself.
It happened for quite a few days. That was me for a few days. I feel like I've chilled. I feel like I've come to, like, a calm, like, that's going to be fun, you know? I'm like, yeah, it's going to be awesome. And then the day of, I'll be like a friggin' mess.
Don't blame you. Do not blame you. It's super exciting. I just want everybody to know that I'm not the one typing this time, even though I do have the very fancy sounding computer.
That was me. Maggie. You could hear. Damn it.
I can hear it.
Shit. Okay.
Let's just all put ourselves in timeout with our hands and just.
Let's all agree to focus.
Right.
For like a little while. Hey, I closed my computer. That's how dedicated I am to this.
Oh, wow. I can't close my computer because I'm recording this on my computer. But if I could, I would. But I do also have literally nothing up. So that's all that matters.
Okay. So, I'm here.
Yes. And we are without our fellow cohort, Bree, today because she's off doing exciting things. And we are sad that she's gone. But ultimately, I'm still going to plug her because I'm...
She's literally fighting people right now.
Yeah, she's off fighting people. It's a thing that she does. So she has a book about lesbians and soccer and cellists and musical prodigies and shit. It's a romance. It's called Off Pitch. It's for sale right now on Amazon. All of the links will be in the description. Go buy that shit. We've officially plugged everybody that we possibly could have in this. And who is making ding noises, you guys?
For fuck's sake. I'm sorry. I was just trying to get my coffee cup away from the space. I can't believe you can pick all that up.
I pick up everything.
I was like, I'm going to move this over to this windowsill so it'll be super out of the way.
No, it's fine. Now I'm just being an asshole. So, okay.
It's gone now.
It's okay. We all must have the coffee or the tea, whatever you feel like drinking. It's very important. I cannot stop you from that. It is our role as writers to always have a warm beverage.
True.
Or at least an iced beverage if it's too hot for a warm beverage.
I'm ready for some fucking hot chocolate. It's cool enough. I was shopping yesterday and all the fucking Halloween stuff. Okay, I'm a big dollar store person. I live and breathe by Dollarama and their Halloween shit's everywhere, and I can't wait to deck this house the fuck out. I'm ready.
Oh my god, you guys. I need to tell you about something that has quite literally changed my life. It is Halloween themed, which is where this is coming from. My local Fred Meyers has already put up their Halloween shit, thank god, and that includes putting out all of the Halloween candy a month early, because that's totally reasonable. And I have discovered that Werther's, the caramel company, has started doing caramel apple flavored soft caramels.
Oh, I saw you tweet about this.
I screamed about it when I saw it. I literally had to cover my mouth in the store because I like had a moment of, oh my god, because I was so excited. They taste, oh, you know those caramel apple lollipops?
Mm-hmm.
It tastes like that. Like delicious. In a soft caramel. And they are my favorite thing in the world. And you can't, they're so sweet that you can only eat like maybe two at most at a time. So they last you a really long time. And they're so good and I've never seen them before and I'm so fucking excited. Mostly I'm excited that things aren't just pumpkin now because I feel like the last few seasons it's been consistently only pumpkin flavored shit. But now I'm seeing like the True Blue caramel apples and other shit pop up now too. And I'm just really happy about it. So everybody needs to know about these wonderful, wonderful melt in your mouth caramel apple caramels. Caramel apple caramels.
Delicious. Delicious. Yeah. I'm going to look them up.
There you go. And yeah, that was my exciting thing. So, you know.
That was your current event.
Yep, that was my current event. I found caramels, guys. Oh, I live a sad life.
It was. I'm excited for you.
Thanks, Max.
I'm excited for all of us to enjoy.
Me too. Okay. For real, though, we do have an actual topic, so let's dive into it. We are talking about rewriting versus revising, and the reason we wanted to talk about this is because all of us are kind of in this weird rewriting stage with at least one of our projects. So Maggie is just going back, and since she's recently finished The Wind in the Horizon, which is the second book in her series, she's going back and doing some revisions on The Star in the Ocean. And then Athena was saying that right before we started recording that she wants to go back and rewrite one of her old books. And I'm in the middle, not even in the middle, I'm quite literally only 3,000 words into this, rewriting Witch Girl, which has been an ongoing topic in this podcast, if you've been listening to me talk at all
for the last long time, long time listeners will recall.
Exactly. So if this is not your first time listening, you'll know. I scrapped all of Witch Girl a few months ago, and I'm only now coming back to like being able to emotionally be like, oh yes, I can write this again the way that I want to write it. So I figured that this would be a great thing for all of us to talk about, and it just also happens to be perfect timing after the first draft. So Maggie, since I feel like you have had a decent amount to say just from me stalking your socials slash our conversations, though they have been sparing over the last few days because we've all been busy as fuck, I would really like you to kind of dive into what your thought process is on what's going on with Star in the Ocean.
I can do that for you.
Thank you.
I mean, you're welcome. Really, what my thought process is just a lot of, like, me being baffled and me being super surprised. Because, I mean, we've all heard different writers, or we've seen them tweeting about it. We've heard them talk about the revision process. So you've got your first draft. And I like to think of the beta draft that is on Wattpad as even the second draft, because there was so much revision that went between what I first wrote and what Athena helped me get a little bit more polished. And I started The Star in the Ocean back in 2015.
I don't
2016?
Know.
I can't remember. So it's been a while. And I had this decision where I was like, okay, I'm going to revise. Because one, book two is done, and next month I've got Surrey International Writers Conference, and part of that you get to, if you want to, you get to sit down for a pitch session with an agent. So I thought, okay, you know what, this is my whole world right now. I'm going to work on this project, get it all spick and span, and I'm going to pitch it there. But also I'm just like, I feel like I'm ready to do something with it, whether it's pitching to agents or self-publishing or whatever it ends up being. So I was like, time to clean it up. I've learned a lot. But I had a very different idea of what this was going to look like. Because whenever I hear other writers talk about revising, I've seen a number of writers be like, oh, I've even seen people say so much as like, I take that first draft, I put it away, and I rewrite the story. And I remember hearing stuff like that and being like, fuck that. Like, no, not in a million years. Why would you rewrite the whole thing? Like, take what you've got and work with that. But as I'm working through, and I'm wondering too, I like woke up literally thinking, I wonder if I'm going to get to a process, sir. what was I saying? Oh,
I'm sorry. Wasn't expecting you to do that.
No one ever is. That's the thing. It's what makes it even better. Expecting them to do it.
Oh, that made
Let's
my
not
day.
Elaborate. This is good.
No, that's good. Let's just leave it there.
We're gonna leave it right there because it's just gonna devolve into something that we just can't come back from.
No.
As I've started this process, like I literally have printed off this entire book. This was the first time I'd ever put it together in one cohesive piece. And I like did my word count, because a lot of people have asked me and I'm like, I don't know. I think it's like, and I've been spitballing. It turns out it was 67,900 and something words.
Wow.
And so more than I was expecting, but not quite as much as I was hoping, because I'd like to get it to it's fantasy. And based on what everything I've heard, like you kind of want to be at the absolute low end. You should be at 80,000. And I think that's 80,000 for young adult fantasy, mm-hmm. to be honest. So I'm like, okay, I got some work to do. I've got some words to add. Which is fine, because I was like, there's all kinds of places I'd like to elaborate. But as I sat down and I started going through this book, I was like, I know I want to change the beginning. And as it turns out, I haven't really been working with the source material so much. I'm basically flipping through the book and being like, okay, this is what has to happen. And I have literally been rewriting it. And I'm so surprised because I was like, I was so dead set against that concept, like the idea of rewriting versus just revising. And now that's exactly what I'm doing. And like I said, I woke up this morning and the first thing that went through my mind is, I wonder if I'm going to get to a point in the book where I switch gears and where I'm not rewriting, but I'm actually working more with the source material. Because right now I hate it. Like I was talking to somebody. Was it you and Bree, or maybe it was, it might've been another Wattpadder where I was like, I can't believe I ever put this out there.
Oh yeah. You mentioned that the other day. And I honestly,
it's embarrassing.
I think it's one of those things where, especially when you leave something for however many years, it just, when you go back and you read it, you've realized how much you've grown as a writer. And so you want to make it look the way that you are currently writing now, because you see all of the things that you've learned and you've like grown into. And it's so easy, especially when you have something like, I feel like from what I've read of like the Starborn series, a lot of it is written specifically to be a serial novel. It's not written necessarily in the full like, not like novelized formation. Does that make sense?
It does. And that's definitely, sorry, bleh. I was talking with another Wattpadder and she was saying, in fact, I think this was Mia, Athena's writerly friend from Wattpad.
Yeah? Oh,
I think it was her who was saying that she had spoken with, an agent, or somebody had been kind of giving her tips for agent or querying her work that had been previously on Wattpad. And I guess one of the big things that you have to point out, or that you one have to work on, and two, you need to put into your query when you are trying to query something that you previously published online as a web serial, is that you have taken the time to edit the flow of your novel so that it doesn't sound so much like a web serial and reads more like a novel, which makes a ton of sense. And that was totally part of my plan. And thankfully, like, I don't think it's going to be too hard, especially in the beginning, because originally I had written it like a novel and it was Athena who helped me break it up into episodes instead. So that part's not, that part makes sense, because I mean, I can't imagine reading a book the way mine's currently written right now.
Yeah.
So I'm working on it.
And it feels like you have to do, in my own mind, thinking about how I've written serials in the past, because I did have a story that I was / planning to post as a serial, versus how I wrote my novel, or like how I write my novels, you do have to make it a lot more palatable to posting in a certain amount of time and a certain amount of content per post. And so just that, you are censoring so much of your story because you're changing it and you're changing the format. And so if you're changing it to be something that it just isn't currently because of the format itself, you're going to be adding a lot more, I don't want to say necessarily content, but just a lot of stuff that you couldn't necessarily have put in there the first time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, Maggie, I remember when you had your first version, you had this sort of prologue-y thing. And I think the prologue was something to do with M's, like, origins.
Mm-hmm.
And if that had been a book, that would have been the perfect prologue for a fantasy novel, because that's how fantasy novels start, with like the enigmatic prologue about, ooh, like the origin of something you're not going to understand until the end of the book. Mm-hmm. But for a web novel, that's like the absolute worst way to start a story.
Oh, yeah. No, it's true. Like I had published, I think I've mentioned this before, but I had published this first version of it and I was participating in a lot of book clubs. That's actually how Bree and I met. And one of the things that kept coming up was just like, people were having a hard time diving into it. They're like, I'm so confused. I don't know what's going on. Like right off the bat in a prologue. And I'm sitting there thinking, have you never read a fucking book before? Like,
right.
This is super normal. But I was so new to Wattpad at that time. And I was like, I had to learn that web serial writers Yeah, I shouldn't just say Wattpad. I was new to publishing work online, period. And Athena's right. Like,
that's a completely different beast. Yeah.
Yeah. They have a completely different expectation of what they're going to get. And so your chapters have to be short. They have to be written very, very much like an episode of a TV show. And you kind of have to give things, you almost have to spell things out a little bit more, I find. And I think that might have to do with the fact that, because there's often time between installments, you almost have to refresh people's memory, in between. So a lot of what I'll be doing and what I have been doing has been just like changing the flow, updating the writing, just so that it's, you know, it's more, consistent with where I am right now as a writer. But it has been, I don't know. I had been afraid of this. I'd been afraid that this was going to happen, that I was going to have to essentially rewrite the book. Because it just seemed like so much work and that I would be throwing out so much. But now, like, now that I'm reading it, I can see how to do it better, especially the beginning. Like, I think I can see in my mind a point in the book where I will probably work closer with the source material and I won't be rewriting from scratch. But there were so many unknowns at the beginning when I first started writing. And I left so many unclosed loops and I left so many like plot holes and stuff like that in the beginning. Cause I was like, maybe I'll come back and finish this idea off later, or I haven't quite thought through this lore yet. So I don't know, I'll figure it out one day. And now's that one day to figure it out. But I'm finding it's a lot less daunting than I thought it was going
to
be.
Oh, that's
I'm actually,
good.
That's
I'm actually,
good to know.
I'm actually excited to do it because I picked it up and I was like, oh God, this is bad. Like and I shouldn't say bad. And I would really caution any writer who's in a similar situation to from looking at their first draft and thinking it's bad. Like we talked about this last week, if you think it's bad, it's because you have improved and that's great, but think of it as an opportunity. So now what I'm doing is I'm reading through it. I'm like, yeah, I missed the mark on this, but now I know how to make it better. And I'm excited to do that because it's like, I can see that potential and I'm polishing it up and I'm excited because I'm like, oh, this can be so good and it's not going to take much to get it there. And so like the new opening, I'm like, yeah, this feels so much better. Like I've got that hook that I'm always so excited about. The prologue is completely different, but still has that whole like Athena was saying, that weird and enigmatic fantasy element and origin story type thing. And then we start off at a much more exciting point in the beginning. And it's been a better experience than I was expecting. And it's been, really inspiring. Like it's been inspiring to the point that it's almost a problem because I can't think of anything else where I'm just like, I can't wait to get back to this. I've got this idea. Like I literally carry around little like mini notebooks with me everywhere, because I'm constantly coming up with ideas or being reminded of things that need to be added or changed or fleshed out. And it's cool. It's nice to be back in that place where I'm like perpetually inspired and I can't wait to work. It's making it a bigger project. It's making it, it's probably going to take longer than I anticipated, but I'm not bummed about it and I'm not daunted by it anymore. It's actually really cool. I'm happy.
I need to make a quick side note that has nothing to do with any of this. My cat fell asleep with her eyes open and she's sitting right next to me. And like, it's not just like the whites of her eyes. It's her eyes completely open. I think it's the way that she's lying right now because she's in a cat, like a little cat tree perch that's right next to my desk. And I think that like literally her, just because she like moved forward, her body like naturally opened her eyes, and I'm literally watching her eyes like track as she's having dreams, and it's the weirdest thing.
It's so creepy.
It's super creepy and also ridiculously cute. It's Sansa, so everything she does is immediately the cutest thing, and I'm just having a moment here. I've just been staring at her for like last 5 minutes while you've been talking. Oh, she woke up. Okay, damn it. That was really cute, though. Anyway, sorry. That was a very necessary side note. I've never seen one of my cats do that before. So, anyway.
Woke up because she was like, you need to fucking pay attention.
Yeah, actually, that's probably what it was. But I was paying attention. I was listening. I was just staring mindlessly at her eyes tracking, and it was great. And I had a moment of, oh, I should tell somebody about this. So, either way, I'm really excited that this process is as exciting as it is for you, Megs, because I know that it's fucking daunting as shit, and it's one of those things that you look at all of what you've written and you're like, well, now I have to do that again and make it better. And on top of that, you're not just like making it better, you're also completely changing its format. And while that might make it easier because now you have a better idea of what you need to change because you're changing the format, it still feels terrifying.
It is terrifying. And anyone who's written a manuscript knows like so much goes into that. Like it's such a huge experience just to get a first draft done that of course you sit back and you think, and now I have to do it all over again? And no, fuck you. So, and I was that person. I am speaking from experience. It was a big no fuck you moment for me when I was sitting down. And in fact, I put it off for so long because the idea of doing it hurt me physically. But yep. I will say this to anyone who's at that point, to anyone who is sitting there, it's actually not that bad. And, or maybe I should say, but what I have noticed writer Twitter is that people are in a really big hurry. This is just a thing that I feel like I see happening again and again and again. People are like, here I go setting aggressive timelines for myself. I'm going to have first draft done by this. And then I have draft two revisions done like 3 weeks later and blah, 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 blah. And it's going to be the perfect book. And I'm ready to query. Like everyone is in a big hurry to be at the same place as everyone else, which is querying and publishing. And I'm saying this knowing that over here we've got Athena who writes in a very different way, and she's like, you're constantly writing and publishing. Like you have a very different schedule, and you have to because of the nature of the beast that you're working with. But you're also talking about now, how many years later, going back to early work and starting to rewrite. But this is the thing though, if you had tried to do that, like you did do that, like you wrote it, you edited it, and then you published it back to back to back. And if I had tried to do that with The Star in the Ocean, not much would have changed either. There's a lot, I think, to be said for giving yourself the time to let your manuscript breathe and let you as a writer get better and grow and then come back to that piece. And so I'm not going to tell anyone what to do. It's your life. It's your career. It's your process. But if you don't have to be in a rush, don't be in a rush. Like, take that manuscript, let it marinate for a while, go write other things, go dabble. Like, it doesn't have to be a full fucking book. Like, go write a bunch of short stories, go keep a journal, whatever the case may be, read a ton, and then go back to it because you're going to be so much stronger. And that manuscript and the work that you have to do to it isn't going to be as horrifying as it probably is. I'm actually really enjoying this, and I see all these people talking about being in revision hell, and I'm kind of like, if I had started to do this right after writing it, it would have felt like hell, absolutely. But now that I'm like, I'm better than I was in 2015, 2016 when I started this book, and the work that I'm doing now to get it to where it needs to be is exciting because I know what it can be and blah, 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 blah. So essentially what I'm saying is if you can do that, if you can give yourself that room and that time, I think do that for yourself. I know not everyone can, and I'm bringing up Athena as an example. She's doing it now, but if you're the type of writer where you have to be producing regular content, obviously that's not – it's not something you might have the, what's the word I'm looking for?
Luxury mm-hmm. doing.
Yeah. That's the exact word I was looking for. Thank you. yeah. So.
See, I am really, really happy to hear that it's not as hard as you might think and that you're enjoying it, because I look back at like every book that I write, I think is the best book I've ever written because I get better and better each time. And I think what I just finished is amazing. And then a year later or 2 years later, I go back and I look and I'm like, this is trash. It's like a hot mess. And I really want to put together a box rock star series because I have so many books out now that I feel like it's daunting for a new reader to come in and see this list of books and be like, I don't know where to start. There's like 13 of these. So I feel like a box set is a really great way for them to be like introduced to my work. However, the first book in that series is not good. And it's not good. It's just not where I'm at at this point. Mm-hmm. If I want people to be introduced to the world of Athena Wright, I do not want that book to be their first introduction. Because that's not my level of ability or talent anymore. I'm much, much better. But I look at it and I read it and I'm like, it's just not good, but I don't know how. Like, I don't know what to do to fix it. It's not like there's one thing that's wrong with it. There's a bunch of things that are wrong with it. Just a lot of stuff is off, and I don't know how to just bring everything up a level. So what I'm actually doing is sending it off to a, a critique editor. So I got an email from an editing company. I had messaged them before once saying, hey, what are your rates, blah, blah. And now I'm on their mailing list, and now I get every email they ever send. But that's fine, because they're doing half-off manuscript critiques. And I was like, this is the best opportunity, because I want to rewrite it, but I don't have the time or the inclination to go through what you're doing, Maggie, and go through it all note by note and like redoing it myself. So I want somebody else to read it and tell me, this part here, pacing is off. This part here, characterization is wrong. This part here, fix that shit. So I'm really looking forward to that, because I know that there are problems with it, and I just can't identify the problems myself, aside from everything sucks.
Well, and see, that's what I maybe not quite in that like intelligible detail, but that's part of why I put things on Wattpad in the first place, because that's why I called it the beta draft, right? Because
right.
This version people were reading and giving me their real-time feedback as they were writing, and I've kept tabs on that, and so I know which parts like cause confusion, or where people were like, are they doing this? Is that what's happening? And it helped me get a sense of what worked and what didn't in real time. And so it's not quite as, like with yours, at least they'll be very specific about pacing and blah and homing in on things. But yeah, I think having that outside perspective was super valuable, because it's so, so hard to see it from a bigger picture when you're so deep in it. Like, you wrote that thing and you know what you meant and you know what you were going for. But if the reader doesn't see that, it's hard for you to see that they didn't see that, because you're in it. You're not looking at it from the outside.
And it's so interesting, because back then I would have said, oh, you know what? Like, I'm really great at pacing. You know, I'm really good at pacing. Pacing is what I'm good at. And like, maybe I have a little difficulty with, you know, like, realistic plots, because I tend to be very like fangirly and like unrealistic fantastical ideas. But you know, I'm good at this. I'm good at characterization. I'm good at pacing. I'm good at plotting, blah, blah. And I read back and I'm like, my pacing was so shit. How could I have ever thought I was good at pacing? Like, it's so bad. And so now, like, I worry and I wonder, the books that I'm writing now, what's wrong with them? What is wrong with them? Because they all go out to beta editors. And so like all of them see, like they all go to beta readers, and then I send them to content editors, and then I send them to like proofreaders, and like people see it. I don't just publish willy-nilly, you know, write the end and then shove it out. People see it, many, many people. But they know what I'm capable of right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so in a few years, I'll be even better. And so I want to be able to take the things that I'm really good at now and go back and apply that to what I thought I was good at, but now I know that I was really, really not.
No, I think that's, and I mean, I think what's going to always be a challenge is it, and it doesn't matter what kind of artist you are. As someone who like spent my entire life drawing before getting into writing in this capacity, I would draw things and I would go back and be like, oh my God, everything is wrong with this. And have other people be like, this is perfect. This is amazing. I'm going to put it on my wall. As the artist, yes. You're
how
never
that?
Really satisfying.
I don't understand. Like, those books did pretty well. Like, I have fans and readers who love those books, and I'm like, why? It's so bad. But I mean, like, I guess it's not bad. It's just in comparison to what I know I can do, it's below, it's like, it's subpar from what I'm capable of. And I know that now.
It was the best that you could do at the time because of the tools that you had, but continuing to do it makes you better at it.
Exactly. But you know what's really weird? So I wrote my first series, VIP, and then I wrote a Shifter series, and then I wrote my first Rockstar series. VIP was trash. Rockstar was trash. My Shifter series is gold. I don't know what happened there. I'm rereading it, and I'm like, this is great. So I don't know how I managed to go from meh to wonderful back to meh. I don't
I can't answer
there.
That for you. I'm sorry.
I know. Was it, I don't know. Hmm. I don't know what happened.
Were you maybe what is like the place you were writing from? Like, I think with Rockstar, like you love Rockstar. You love what you're writing. But I think there was like this element of like real excitement and passion about the Shifter stuff that was coming from like a really. Passionate is just not the word I'm looking for, but it was coming from a place that like you were enjoying it and you were having fun on like a personal level. Like you liked this stuff. You would seek it out as opposed to writing for like what's current and what's making money and what's moving. Like I remember, and I don't know if I should say this, and Ray, maybe you should cut it out. But I remember when you started Rockstar, you were like, this is a new trend. Like, I'm going to be on the forefront of this.
Yeah.
And you were.
Yeah. Basically, what I did was I took a look of what is selling and what do I like. And I made this little cross section because I really love that fangirl Rockstar style. But it was also selling pretty well. There was a really good readership for it. And I was like, perfect. Perfect intersection of what I like and what can sell. Shifter, I wrote all wrong. It's not commercial at all. It does not fit the... The things that I like about it are the things that other Shifter readers hate about it. So it did okay, but it didn't do super well. But the thing is, I loved what I thought was what people wanted. It was not what they wanted, but I thought it was really great. And so basically I wrote Shifter as if it was the creepiest thing in the world. I've mentioned this before, that I think the whole one true mate thing is really odd and creepy. And I specifically wrote it so that it was like supposed to be a dark romance of her being like, I don't really want this, but biology says that I must. And so, oh, this sucks. So I wrote it thinking this is what I think is a good plot instead of trying to think what would other people think is a good plot. So, yeah, maybe that's it. I wrote whatever I wanted. And it's like, I don't care if you don't like it. Sorry.
And I think that especially when you're in the situation that you are, Athena, that almost, it matters a lot more because you have an audience that you have to cater to and you're doing all of the work yourself. Like, you have a very, when you're self-publishing, you know what your audience is looking for. You have to cater to that audience. Whereas when you're looking in something like traditional publishing, that's not necessarily the exact same case because you have a team of people who are always going to be hype people for you. The entire point is for other people to be making this book exciting and making this book sound good, whereas you literally have a built-in audience that you have to work with and you have to make sure are happy every single time because
See,
otherwise...
I feel like the difference between trad and indie is that TradPub knows what's popular now and they specifically go looking for someone out of the slush pile who has that. The person who wrote that had no idea that's what's in right now.
Yeah.
They wrote it out of love. And it just happened to also be what people are looking for.
Yeah.
Whereas indie, you specifically have to be like, okay, what do people want to read? Can I write that? Because if you're writing something no one wants to read, then you can't eat because no one's spying your books.
Exactly, yeah. So it comes from a slightly different point of view. And so I do feel like that definitely would affect your writing and what you think is good versus what you actually enjoy writing. I think that makes total sense.
Yeah, it's definitely true. There are plot points in my Rockstar books that now I would totally rewrite because I'm like, I thought that's what people wanted to read. And now I'm like, no, that's, nobody wants to read that. Like, I got it all wrong. I thought it was great at the time. I was like, oh yeah, this is so great. Like, everyone's going to love this because I liked it. I thought it was cool, but other people didn't. I mean, Rockstar did fine, but it didn't do as well as my later books just because I knew what I was doing better. So, yep. So now I have to rewrite my Rockstar books, and I feel like it's going to be really hard because I feel like I want to have to rewrite the entire thing from scratch. And I don't really have the time to do that.
Yeah, I feel like you're giving yourself more work than you necessarily need to.
I know. Personally, I would feel so much better if it was a better book. I don't like that it sits there and that people are reading it and that it's just so average. I don't want it to be average. I want it to be great. But
you also have to understand too that I'm going to use J.K. Rowling just because she's a good example for this. So look at how Harry Potter started out. It was a very small story, and you can literally see her growing as a writer as you're going with her. And the first book is really accessible and easy to read because she wasn't as good of a writer as she ended up being. So you're kind of following her journey, and you're seeing how she grows, and you are growing with her, and so are your interests because she is becoming a better writer as you are reading her. And I think that it's one of those things that yes, I know a lot of people who publish end up being I really do wish I could go back and fix these books and this and this and this and that way, but also that's kind of how you build a following, is when you are growing with them and you are putting these books out for them to experience with you as you're growing as a writer. And if you want to go back and change everything every single time you put out books, then you're going to be hindering your creative process as you're continuing to grow because you just keep going back to fix it.
I know.
I guess it comes down to what do you want to be your thing, right? If you're talking about rewriting the first book, let's say, because as you said, this is where people are going to start. They're going to get into you. Maybe you want to make those changes just to make it a bit stronger. But if you make it too different than where everything else ends up going from there, then it's going to stand out as a weird, people come in, they love it. And then the second book, they're like, oh, this is different.
I also don't want to rewrite the second book, because the second book is also trash.
That's what I'm saying. There's no stopping. Well, because you're going to keep getting better, and every single time you rewrite a book that you've already published, you're going to feel like you have to keep rewriting the next one, the next one, the next one. And
God, that's true.
Exactly.
What point do you just take all that creative energy and put it into a newer project that stands alone as a new and better example of what you do? And maybe it is still rock star, but maybe it this becomes the pinnacle of your work. And I think about people is her name Veronica or Victoria?
Victoria Schwab.
Thank you. Yes.
Just call her V. She prefers to go by V. So
thank God, because I always do that. she's got a huge, she's written so much. She's such a prolific writer, but you remember her for her Shades of Magic series, for example. She's written a ton before then, and she's continuing to write a lot more. But that seems to be the series that people are that they identify with her, because that was kind of where she peaked, even though she really, or Alice Hoffman, another writer who has written a shit ton of books. When you go through her other works by Alice at the beginning of one of her books, you're like, holy fuck. And she's written for young adult audiences, and she's written for adult audiences, but it was Practical Magic that was the one way down in her career that was finally the book that really launched her and made her a much more, I won't say a household name, but that's when people started to realize oh my God, they found her work.
Yeah.
And then she's gone on, she's written The Rules of Magic as a prequel, and she just Instagrammed today that she's working on another Owens Women book. So she's kind of, now she's really found that niche of this is what people really want to see from me. It doesn't mean the rest of her library is shit. And she might go back to some of those earlier works and be like, dear God. But in all likelihood, those early works aren't actually where people are going to discover Alice Hoffman.
Exactly.
It's the work that came on later on down in her career that she never could have even imagined at the beginning of it.
Yeah.
And so, if you're imagining yourself having this long, amazing writing career, you maybe haven't even scratched the surface of what's going to be your legacy yet. And so you have to decide, do I want to put everything on this rock star series? because that's where I am and who I am right now? Or do I want to let, like, make the tweaks? Because you're in a lucky position of being a self-published author where you can go back and re-release material. So, you know, maybe you finesse it a bit and make the changes just to maybe put everything on a similar level. Like, if you feel like the beginning of the series and the end of the series are so different by way of quality, then yeah, maybe you do the work just to kind of put them all on an even playing field. But I wouldn't take the, like, I wouldn't pour so much into it that, like, it's taking away from your ability to move forward, because this very, in all likelihood, is not going to be where you peak. And you owe it to yourself to keep moving forward instead of, like, because eventually there's only so far you can go with it. And an artist is going to drive themselves insane trying to make the one story or the one body of
work. Exactly.
Perfect. You're going to never be perfect.
Yeah. And you're going to spend so much more time focusing on trying to perfect something that you're going to be taking away from the attention that you could be giving to new and better projects that are more you than what your current focus is.
Oh god, it's true. My next series isn't even a rock star series. I'm going plain contemporary.
Hey.
I'm see? Just saying. I just don't want you to fall down that rabbit hole.
I can easily see myself falling down the rabbit hole, because if I change Jace's book, then you go straight into book two for Kel's book, and like Kel's book is a hot mess as well, like almost even worse. And I'm like, okay, well, if I change the first one, I got to change the second one. And then all of a sudden, it's a complete series rewrite. And then, yeah. Oh, God.
And, like, small, significant changes make sense. But to go through and completely redo the entire first, second, however many books, that's just going to be a full rabbit hole. And I, especially considering that these are books that are already published, they're already out in the world, they already have a good standing audience, it doesn't necessarily make sense to go back and focus on them when you have a literal plethora of different stories that you could be writing and improving yourself on instead.
Oh god, you guys.
And
are
people
so
love
right.
what you've written. Like, and
exactly.
No,
people and don't I'm dislike like, it. It's not bad.
Why?
But and you're allowed to have that thought process, and those people are still allowed to love it.
I guess that's true. I mean, I have some authors where I love their first work and I think it's like the best thing and oh my god, it's so good. And they're probably like, well, that's the first thing I wrote. Why don't you read my new stuff? My new stuff is awesome. And I'm like, no.
Exactly.
Your first stuff was great. That's what I love. Now you're doing mm-hmm. something I don't want.
Right. And think about also all of the people who have already bought those books, already love those books, probably reread those books.
Oh, yeah. I have people say they've reread my series multiple times.
Exactly. And so
you're
going through and
you're changing. It means something to them.
Exactly. And you're going through and you're changing that thing that means something to them. You're changing something to them. There is probably scenes in your first book that you would change and hate and loathe. There are other people's favorite scenes that they reread over and over and over again.
Oh, I think about that a lot with the rewrite I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that's like saving me from feeling super bad about it is the fact that like I didn't, that it was just out there for free. And I right. was from the very beginning, I was calling it a beta draft. Like that, if there's one thing I can thank past Maggie for, it was having the foresight to know that this wasn't the final product.
Yeah.
Because now I don't feel quite so bad changing it and making it better. But like,
I just feel sad
that
this
army of people who love it so damn much.
but I don't love it. Does that matter?
No, not anymore, because you loved it when you published it.
I did, but here's the thing. Okay, I was like, this is so great.
Yeah, I don't think it matters anymore.
And let me pull this up, because everything is so timely right now, because speaking of V.
Oh my god, yeah, her entire thing yesterday.
Yes, so she was having her moments of an evening of self-doubt.
I do want to preface this really quick with saying that she's in a very weird spot in her career right now. She has a book that just came out a week and a half ago. She has another book that is the second slash end of a series that's coming out in another 2 weeks. And she's writing three different first drafts currently.
Oh my god.
Yeah. She's got shit happening.
She's got multiple worlds happening at the same time, but she tweeted yesterday, I wonder if I'll ever feel satisfied with anything I make. And I think artists around the globe were like, fucking big mood, man.
And she's a woman who has been on, at this point, she has now made it onto 3 different NYT bestsellers lists as of this last week. She is probably one of the most popular voices in both YA and adult sci-fi fantasy. She's just as prolific as like Neil Gaiman is at this point. They're friends. There was an entire exchange with them yesterday that was just amazing.
That's what I was going to read. Like here, for very basic context for people who aren't familiar, she's 32, because I remember being shocked that she was a year younger than me. And she's been agented.
She's been agented
since she was 19. So let that be your kind of Cole's notes here. So she tweets that and Neil Gaiman responds. And he says, probably not, but one day you'll look at things younger you made and accept that younger you made really good things. But by then, it'll be too late, as younger you won't be you any longer. So basically, no. But in retrospect, you may be happy-ish with things another you made once upon a time. And she says, I think this is true. I look back and I'm happy with what I've made, but I look forward with fear that I'll never live up to my past. And then he says, you start out asking yourself, have I got it? Will I ever get it? And then one day you find it has unnoticeably morphed into, do I still have it? Have I lost it? And in the meantime, you just keep making art.
That is good.
Right? And I was like, and you should better to get that from than Neil Gaiman to be giving you that pep talk.
Exactly. Like, and on top of perfect. That, though, I follow her on Instagram and she does Insta stories like a beast. She's on there like every day. And I have got to say, it's one of like the most motivating things in the world for me. And before she posted that on Twitter, she did an AMA on Instagram. And it was really interesting because before she essentially offered the AMA, then a few minutes later came back and was like, sorry, guys, I don't think I'm going to do this tonight because of how I'm feeling. And she kind of had her own little, I'm gonna say it was a pity party, because it was a bit of a pity party, but I also think it was totally warranted and understandable, and I will never judge anybody for having a pity party. But she basically just kind of laid it out, and if you have the opportunity to, obviously this is going up late, but I really highly recommend following her and just following her Insta stories, because she talks about stuff like this all the time. And mostly for you two, it should still be up because I think it was in the middle of the afternoon yesterday when she was doing this. But it was so nice to see sometimes that other writers who are as prolific and as successful as she is still have the same exact problems that we're having. And part of the reason that I felt comfortable with Witch Girl and giving up on that first draft was because at the same exact time she was going through her second and third full complete trashing and rewriting of Vengeful, which is the book that comes out in two weeks. And she was devastated and she had to literally pull her pants back up and just fucking do it because she was on a deadline. She had shit she had to do. She rewrote that book 5 different times before she got to where she needed to go. But she also is accepting at this point of now it is where it is. She's happy with where the book is, but she knows she can't touch it again because she's already done it so many times. And I highly recommend following her because she does so much for just the transparency of the emotional like stress and like issues that go into writing books like this. And I don't know. I just love her, and she makes everything feel so much easier to get through sometimes because you look at her and you're like, okay, she still goes through the same shit that I, an unagented writer who has literally nothing on my plate that I could even try to work with because I'm still in this weird fucking spot, like, makes me feel better and makes me feel like I can do it too. Oh.
Yep.
Yeah, I need to follow her.
Yeah, please do. She's amazing.
It's nice. It's really nice to see authors who can be who can be real about stuff like that. There have been a lot of writers that I'm following, like authors who have seen a lot of success and have been very, they've been sharing their stories, and the success doesn't change them, but it changes the way they talk about their process. It's almost like they feel like they can't be open and real about it. And so when they're complaining, they're suddenly complaining about things that aren't relatable anymore. They're complaining about what that level of fame is doing to them. And they're complaining about like their readers wanting unreasonable things from them, et cetera. And when you're someone who hasn't even touched that level of success, you're like, oh, boo hoo, right? It's hard to feel anything for them because you're not even close to being in that relatable situation. Whereas she's really good for kind of like Ray said, it's just kind of like I'm sobbing under my desk again because I've had to start all over. And she hasn't really lost that. She's not one of the writers who is feigning any kind of next level understanding of her craft. She's kind of like, we're all right there together. And that's what it's always going to be like, because that's what creating art is. Yeah. And it's nice.
It's nice. Super nice. Okay. So we're coming up on time pretty soon.
Did you have anything that you wanted to talk about?
I don't know. Like, I have a decent amount of things that I've been thinking about with Witch Girl, but also a lot of it comes down to, I'm going through the emotional portion of it still, because that was a really important story for me. And it's one of those things where I'm not necessarily having an issue with the idea of rewriting it so much as I am having an issue with just moving past the intense emotions that I had from scrapping all of it to begin with, if that makes sense. And so part of it for me has been just trying to get past that and trying to make it into the new story that I can imagine now, if that makes sense. I don't know. I feel like I'm all over the place with it, and it feels both like I'm writing a brand new first draft of something while also still writing a second draft. I don't know. I'm in a weird spot, guys. I'm in a really fucking weird spot.
At what point, though, do you just have to take all of that and put it aside and just write the thing? Like, writing,
it's been hard to do that out legitimately. Like, I have not ever had this much of a issue, like, packing up my emotions in regards to something and putting them aside. I've never had this big of an issue before. So I don't know where they're coming from either. It's weird.
Well, I think they're coming from the fact that, like you've already said, you were just really emotionally invested and attached to this story and everything it meant to you. And maybe it's a case of, like, maybe you need a bit more time before you're ready to do that. Maybe you've made that decision, and that's great, and that's big, but that doesn't mean you're ready to do what needs to be done. Yeah. And I mean, if you're not writing, if you're not working on it, then obviously, like, you're not, because it's just not moving forward. And does that mean you need to take a little bit more time to, like, stretch that creative muscle and exercise it in other ways and fill up that muse, etc., until you're in that place? Because I feel like something clicks. I feel like if you finally get to a point where you're like, I'm ready. That's been my experience. I put off and I've been like, oh, I knew The Star in the Ocean needed a ton of work, but I was like, I don't want to think about it. I don't want to touch it. And I was just like mindlessly pushing myself forward because I was just like, that's a big thing that I don't want to deal with. And it did mean a lot to me. And the idea of taking that thing that was so personal and just fucking blowing it up felt sacrilegious almost. And then just one day it just fucking clicked. Yeah. And I'm like, you know what? Now's the time. I'm ready to go. And maybe you're just not quite there yet, and that's okay.
I think I had the moment where I thought I was ready to go, but I only had one thing click for me. And I think that I may have assumed that because that one thing clicked, that the rest of it did too. But I think it was just the one piece of the puzzle. I don't think it's been the full amount that I need to actually keep going. Does that make sense?
Yep. And that's totally fine. But what I would say is, don't let that be a crutch. You know, if it's not Witch Girl right now, fine. But don't. You are especially one of those people who says again and again and again, like, I am nothing without my craft. Like, I write because it's who I am. And not writing is something that, like, hurts you. So don't hurt yourself. Don't let it be something that, like, if you need to work on something else, work on something else for a while. The story's not going anywhere. No one's going to take it from you. It's going to be there when you're ready for it.
Ow.
So you agreed to come back to it. You know it's something that, like, you – that means something to you. You'll come back to it. Put it down. Walk away. Go learn things. Go create other things.
You just, like, hurt me.
Good.
Visceral way when you said no one's going to take it from you. I think that's kind of where my issues have been because, like, Witch Girl came to me – around the same time that, at least in our Twitter community, that the rest of the Twitter community was going, oh my god, witches.
Oh, don't even yes.
Yeah,
I get
exactly.
That
and I think that's what it is. Like, I see all of these other witch stories and I'm like, oh my god, but what if somebody has my story? What if somebody takes that spot that was meant for me or that I thought that I was going to have? If that makes sense? Even though, obviously, there's nothing that was meant for me. There's nothing that's been saved for me. There's none of that. And witches are also one of those things that I feel they don't have cycles necessarily like other things like vampires and dystopian do. Witches are just kind of something that are always there, if that makes sense.
Well, here's the thing. Unlike vampires, which aren't real... witches are, and so
that's
I think a person who identifies with that lifestyle is always going to seek that kind of material out. Like, there's never been a point in my life where I haven't enjoyed or wanted to read about witches. Now, I'll say this, publishing may disagree with you, and you may have to wait for a new upswing, because right now we're in this like resurgence and new heyday of witch stories. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
So maybe you miss this wave. It's better to miss this wave and make the story what it's meant to be than to try and push this thing out for the sake of catching a wave that you're already on the tail end of anyway. So just take your time with it, especially if it's something really personal and something that means a lot to you. Do yourself and the story the service of giving it the time it deserves. And when that next wave comes around, you'll be ready for it.
Damn, Mags.
End of story.
You got me there.
Just don't. I'm trying. Someone's got to be there to punch you in the face sometimes, and I will be that friend.
Mikey, you're always the person that punches me in the face.
Thank
I don't
you.
Mind. I would prefer it be you than anyone else.
Everyone's got to have that friend that punches in the face.
Yep.
Apparently.
Yeah. I will say, I have been struggling so much with writing Witch Girl this week. I specifically was like, yes, this week it's going to happen. And I have gotten to around 3,000 words over the course of multiple days, which is not great for me. I tend to be a person that can write anywhere between 1,500 and 3,000 in a session. And so 3K over the course of a few days is not great. And then last night I had this random idea that bit me in the ass for a completely different story that was just like, I was literally going back through and re-listening to some of my old playlists and had a moment of like, oh, I want to write this really quickly. And I wrote almost 2K in like 20 minutes. And I was like, oh, wow, it feels really nice to do this again. This feels like it's supposed to feel. And yeah, so I've been playing around with that a lot, and just at least today and last night being like, maybe it isn't something that I'm ready for again. So I think I did need a kind of kick in the ass from somebody else a little bit too, just to remind me that that's okay.
It is.
So, well, thank you. That's
You're
a
welcome.
Nice. On that note, we are at just over an hour. So if anybody would like to do some ending words or anything like that before I jump into some housekeeping.
I think I've talked a lot.
Yeah. I feel we like secretly solved one of Athena's problems a little bit.
I feel like you did.
So we had a very productive conversation at the very least.
Sweet.
So good job, guys.
Woo!
Woo! Okay, so on that note, anybody have any shout-outs they want to do real quick? Because I feel like we did a lot of shouting out at the beginning, but just in case.
Shouting out to ourselves.
Exactly.
No, I don't think so, which is too bad. I feel like I should.
That's okay.
Oh, you know what? I will do this. I will say shout out to everyone on Wattpad who made the 2018 Waddy's Long List, which came out the last day of August, last weekday. And this is something I should say, if you're a Wattpadder and you're listening and you're ever entering a Wattpad section contest, when they say late, insert month here, late August, late September, what they mean is the last working day of that month, always. So don't get yourself stressed out until that very last day. Do yourself a favor. I don't know why they don't just say it, but that's what they mean. Congrats to everyone who made the long list. It is a very long list. It's something like 785 titles. And I think this month they're going to be releasing the short list, I think mid-month. And then if I remember correctly, if I remember correctly, I think they released the Waddies shortly before WattCon. So in October, maybe the end of September, I don't know. You'll know who won. It's a very big list. Lots of really interesting titles. Like, I was going through it and I'm like, that sounds fucking weird. I will read that. Like, it's a good mix of one thing that people have really bitched and complained about is books that don't get a lot of reads. And so I think what Wattpad's doing is really smart by creating this long list, because it lets them know like what that process looks like a lot better. Last year was the first year that they released a short list, and I think it helps to kind of keep the excitement going, but I think it also helps to show people who are participating just kind of what process goes into it. Like when you've got over 300,000 books that are added into the mix. So it's good to see kind of how the gems kind of float to the top in this process. But big list, lots of people on it. Congratulations to all of them. And if you didn't make the cut, I had a tweet that kind of blew up a little bit around this. It's not the end of the world. It's like, as I'm speaking as someone who has won a Waddy in the past, it's a great thing to be able to put award-winning writer on your resume, but it's not going to be the be-all, end-all. There were a lot of books that were submitted this year that didn't quite make the cut that I've read and are still amazing. It doesn't mean that you are a shit writer. It doesn't mean that your career is over. Take a deep breath. It's one contest. I promise you're going to be okay.
You will survive.
You're going to be good. You will survive. Keep writing. Keep working on your craft. You're going to be all right. Congrats to everyone who made it. You deserve it. And don't let the next step freak you out. This is a big accomplishment in and of itself. I'm proud of you.
Woo.
Woo. That's my shout out.
Athena, do you got anything?
I want to shout out to my beta readers, but there's so many of them and I don't want to forget. So I'm just going to say thank you to all of my beta readers for tearing apart my most recent book, because you helped me make it better.
Aww. Good job.
Beta readers. Beta readers.
Beta readers.
Where would we be without you?
Awesome. Mine is just a quick reminder that Toil and Trouble, the YA witch anthology, came out over the last week or two, and it is absolutely heavenly. I highly recommend reading it. I have already found a favorite. It is Tess Sharps, who is actually one of the editors of the novel. Her story just like sang directly to my soul. So highly recommend it. Every story so far has been wonderful. And there's a lot of sapphic shit in there too, so you should probably go read it. I think more than half of the stories ended up being sapphic. So yeah.
Make it gay.
Make it all gay. Okay, on that note, some quick housekeeping. If you would like to get in touch with us, we are all available on Twitter. You can reach the podcast at TheWhipPod. You could also reach us via email. I forgot that word for a second. At talktowhip@gmail.com. You can also visit our website, thewhippodcast.com, where we will have any resources and all good stuff that we mentioned per episode up there eventually. I don't think we really mentioned anything this episode, so that'll be nice and easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, if we said anything that you did not agree with or that you thought was just wrong, feel free to email us. Let us know. Aside from that, I think that's basically the spiel. I mean, it's not exactly how we usually say it, but, you know, whatever. We appreciate you so much for listening to this podcast. If you like us and if you want us to be in other people's ears, please rate, subscribe, review where you can. Word of mouth is great. I am a massive podcast listener, and I know that the best thing that you can do for other podcasts is tell other people about those podcasts that you love. So please, if you know of other writers, let them know about this podcast, because we'd love to be in their ears too. And on that note, thank you so much for listening to us, dear listener. You are wonderful. You are successful. We love you so much. Keep writing. Keep creating. And I think that's it. Have a great day. We love you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.